Eric Reed joining us right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. He is the play-by-play announcer for the Miami Heat. E. Reed, R-E-I-D, Miami Heat, at E. Reed, Miami Heat on Twitter. Eric, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. We know it's a busy time for you. Must be a really exciting time for you as well.
Oh, there's no doubt that it is. Just want to say good morning to you guys and the great NBA fans in your area. It's exciting. Listen, there's 28 teams that would want to trade places right now with the Heat and Nuggets. It never gets old. It's always special, and feel privileged. I've been with the Heat for all 35 seasons. This is our seventh trip to the NBA Finals since 06, and that's the most in the NBA in that time span.
Wow, that is really neat. Yeah, what a run this team is on. How do you, I mean, I know Jimmy Butler missed 18 games this year, but you still finished 44-38 in the regular season, but this is the team. Why 44-38 as opposed to being better during the regular season?
Well, if we had the answer to that, I would have a better job than TV play-by-play guy for the Heat, which is a good job, by the way. But nobody has the answer to that. Listen, 44 wins, if the Heat are able to win the title, they'd be the first team since the 1978 Washington Bullets to win a championship with that low a victory total. So it is unusual. But the regular season, listen, it was filled with injuries for Miami. Eric Spoelstra had to use almost 20 different lineups during the regular season. Duncan Robinson missed a month with a hand injury. There were a myriad of injuries through the regular season. But just a lack of consistency. But what Miami did do during that regular season, they played in more close games than any team in the NBA. And as Eric Spoelstra and the Heat always do, they built team habits. They built winning habits, and they were just gearing up for this opportunity. But nobody saw this coming. That's the unique thing about this playoff journey. Usually when you have a team that's good enough to get this far, you're carrying a truckload of expectations into the playoffs. The Heat came into the playoffs with almost no expectations from the outside, but that group inside that Heat locker room, this is what they were thinking about, dreaming about, and working for every day for their whole lives.
You know, this is it's always very interesting to me to watch Spoelstra and how the perception of him really grew after the Big Three and he continued to win. Can you talk about Heat culture? I know Jalen Rose brought that up, and we here in Houston have the Rockets trying to get there. We have the Houston Texans. Yeah, we have more vibes than we have culture, but we want less vibes and more winning culture. But can you talk a little bit about what that looks like with the Miami Heat and how much is Jimmy Butler responsible for any of this? Because this is really Spoelstra's thing more than anything, I guess.
Well, it's Pat Riley's thing. Well, Pat Riley is the godfather of this whole thing. You know, he's been with the Heat almost 30 years. You know, the Heat have been one of the great franchises in professional sports since the day Mickey Arison hired Pat Riley to run his basketball team. I think Eric Spoelstra sort of updated it from Pat Riley. He's a lot like Pat, but today's version of Pat Riley. But, you know, being with the Heat, Spo says it all the time, we're not for everybody. But if you're a player that maybe it may have been overlooked along the way, and we got seven undrafted guys right now, I'd say undaunted is being more important than undrafted. And these guys, I call them the underdog with the overbite, but they get guys that are willing to work, that come in with a chip on their shoulder. And if you give, I've seen this for close to 30 years, guys. I've seen players come into Miami. If you're a player and you buy in and you give yourself over to what it takes to be a Heat player, you'll go reap a harvest both individually and usually collectively as a team. They get guys in great shape. We might be one of the handful of teams in the league that actually weigh their players in on a weekly basis. Nutrition, fitness, a huge part of this business. And the better shape you're in, the better version of yourself you can be. And it's not about the individual. One of Spo's mantras for his team is, can you be happy for your teammate's success? And for the Heat, when your best player is totally bought in to doing whatever it takes to win, puts defense first, is a willing and unselfish and gifted passer. And you can say the same thing for Jokic, by the way. That's where it starts for Miami. When your best player is that kind of guy, that kind of warrior, and that kind of team player, your team is probably going to be in very good shape.
Heat play-by-play announcer Eric Reed with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We heard the stories about Jimmy Butler getting on his teammates in Minnesota, taking the second team and beating them. We just get this opinion of him that he's just, you know, such a tough, tough guy. What is Jimmy Butler like with his teammates?
Well, I'm not in the locker room with those guys to give you a firsthand account, but I'll say this: there's a tough love in that Heat locker room. Guys are honest with each other. They you know, confrontation sometimes comes off like it's bad. When done the right way, confrontation is so useful and helpful and necessary. And guys hold each other accountable, which is even more important than a coaching staff doing that. When your own teammates and peer group hold each other accountable for winning, it goes a long, long way. So Butler's going to be honest and straightforward, but he's not alone. I mean, Udonis Haslem, who's our veteran lead guy, doesn't play, but what leadership he shows, he's the same way. But what Butler does, listen, he's a great fit in Miami because he's surrounded by like-minded individuals, guys that just want to win and will do everything and anything to win. So it works for Butler here. But just to balance it off for you guys so you understand, Jimmy, he might be hard on you, but he's going to give you great confidence. He's terrific with our younger players. If you're open, he is going to get you the ball. He said it. If Strus misses 10 in a row, if he's open, he's going to get him an 11th shot. So he will hold you accountable. He will also set you up with great passes and show great confidence in his teammates over and over again.
The Heat of, you know, you guys have been able to get performance out of ancillary players and players that were not considered big names coming into the season. Duncan Robinson had a huge stretch there for the Heat in that game to win as well. And then you got a guy with a Jordan mentality and Jimmy Butler. But it's kind of, we saw something similar with the Rockets when they won championships in the 90s with Hakeem Olajuwon and then guys who just fit a certain type of basketball and a certain level of grit and step up in the right, you know, in the right instance. I do see some similarities between what the Heat are doing now and what some of the Rocket teams did in the mid-90s in terms of, yeah, one guy that's really the dude, and then Bam Adebayo, though, is, you know, he's a dude, too, and a lot of guys are just stepping up at the right time, I suppose.
There's no question. And doing it despite overcoming adversity, like that Game 6 loss at home against Boston in the last tenth of a second, you come back and then not only win Game 7 in Boston, but you dominate that game. So if you're still surprised that the Heat were able to bounce back from a Game 1 loss in the finals, you're probably not paying close enough attention to the emotional stability, the mental toughness of this Heat team. I like your comparison to some of Rudy T's Rocket great teams. Never underestimate the heart of a champion. It remains to be seen if the Heat are going to win a championship, but they do have the heart of a champion, the will of a champion, the leadership of a champ. And I know you guys got to be proud of Jimmy. He is from Tomball, Texas. Listen, one of my colleagues, the former head coach of the Heat, now Heat broadcaster, Ron Rossi, he always says this about the playoffs. He says, your stars have to shine or you're going home. But it takes more than that. So right now, Jimmy and Bam are the two out front guys. Remember, the Heat are doing this without Tyler Hero and without Victor Oladipo, both injured in the Milwaukee first round series. But, you know, it's funny. When Jimmy was asked about it, somebody said, talk about your role players. He says, I don't call them role players. I call them teammates. And I think that says a lot about the emotional makeup and that team unity that the Heat have right now. You can't just turn that on in the playoffs. It's either there or it's not there.
What has Kevin Love brought to this table?
You know, he's just another mature veteran leader and former champion. You know, you got Kyle Lowry doing the same thing. There's a lot of leadership. There's a lot of corporate knowledge in that locker room. You know, the move of putting Kevin Love back into the starting lineup for Game 2, one of Coach Bolster's key moves of this postseason. Miami got victimized with a lack of size up front in Game 1. Love gives you, you know, the rebounds. He's the best outlet passer in the NBA right now. He's a one-man fast break. He rebounds. Everybody else sprints. And he can hit you with those Wes Unseld-type laser beam, half-court to full-court outlet passes that can get you an easy bucket or two. And if you don't cover him, he'll splash in a three or two. And, you know, he's a place setter. He's going to start the first quarter and the third quarter and then give way. I'll tell you one thing I think bodes well for Miami. Caleb Martin only had 6 points in the first two games of this series. I think he's 2 for 10 or 3 for 10 in the series. He was sick for those first two games. I think the Heat are going to see a more productive, much better version of Caleb Martin the rest of this series.
Yeah, this is, and, you know, it's really going to be, I saw the ratings were way up, much higher than people expected for game one, over 11 million viewers. Boy, watching Nikola Jokic in person for you must be something else as well. I mean, he is just such a talented, skilled big man.
He really is. Listen, you know, great respect for this transcendent player who I think is clearly the best player in the game right now. To me, he's a bigger, taller, stronger version of Larry Bird, the complete offensive skill set. I mean, he's a state-of-the-art player. There's no weakness in his offensive game. And Miami, you know, Miami is the last team standing to try to figure out the best way to defend him. And I don't know if there really is a, you know, what Eric Spoelstra's doing, and he does this always against great players. And to win a championship, you're going to have to go through great players, guys. I mean, to win the first championship, the Heat had to get through Dirk and Dallas. To win their second championship, they had to get past Durant, Westbrook, and Harden at Oklahoma City. And I don't have to tell you who they had to get through when they beat the Spurs. You're very familiar with the trio of stars that they had. And now it's trying to deal with Jokic. Listen, I think his assists are more detrimental than his scoring. I think that's been proven in the playoffs. They're 0-3 when he gets 40-plus. Look, he got 27 in game one, and they won because he had 14 assists. He got 41 in game two. They lost. He only had 4 assists with 5 turnovers. So, they're going to do everything they can to try to limit his scoring. It's hard to stop that man from scoring. And if you double him, he's going to slice your defense up with great instinctive passes that a handful of players in professional basketball can make. So Spo changes up his defense regularly. He'll go from man to zone to a different kind of zone to full court pressure, half court pressure. I mean, you got to keep Jokic guessing, but he's pretty damn good at that. So he's what I would call an undefendable player. But I'd watch his assist total more than any other stat in this series.
And you got to watch the Heat's 3-point shooting too, because it was fabulous. Can you guys keep,
guys? We were the number one team two years ago. You know, when we were the number one seed in the East and went to the conference finals and lost to Boston. I think we were 27th in the league in 3-point percentage during the regular season. Number one when it matters. Right now in the playoffs, and you know they set a franchise finals record with 17 threes in game two on 49%. So they're winning that game, the 3-point game. I think it's 31-19 in threes through two games. Guys, the other area where the Heat have excelled, listen, they're hard to kill. They're like that bug your exterminator cannot get rid of. They've dominated the 2 fourth quarters in this series, and they've been the best one of the best fourth quarter teams in NBA playoff history. And I know both teams are thinking the same way. Not just about the fourth quarter. It's about putting together all 4 quarters to try to win an NBA championship.
That's Eric Reed, play-by-play, Miami Heat. Man, it's got to be fun. We went through it with the Rockets back in the day, back in the 90s. That was so much fun to cover, to be part of, and along for that ride. It's got to be wonderful for you as well. But you keep doing it year after year after year, it seems like. So old hat for you. We'd love to get there as well. But thanks for joining us, Eric. We know you're busy. This is a great time. Have a lot of fun tonight.
Guys, thanks for having us on. Listen, it's always appreciated. You never take this for granted. It's exciting, exhilarating, and nothing better than basketball in June, especially when it's in your building. Guys, enjoy the rest of the series with us.
Thank you. That's Eric Reed spending time with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.